You know, the podcast that uncovers the origin stories of some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, and so much more. Nick Durst here, along with Joe Calabrese. And Joe, very excited for our guest today. He's on a great television show that is back out now, finally. And he's a sports fan, just like us, of a lot of the same teams. So, let everybody know who we have with us here today on the You Know I'm Right podcast.
Getting ready to watch Paramount Plus, The Challenge All Stars 4 coming up here. Former Challenge contestant, he's been on The Real World, he's been on Sequester, and he's a New York guy like us. So we're gonna have a lot of fun with this. We welcome Jay Mitchell. Jay, what's going on, pal? How you doing?
What's up, boys? Good to be here. I've followed some of your stuff, fellow New Yorker, so I'm excited. I'm excited for this one.
Happy you're excited. As I mentioned, Nick and I were from New York. We're from Staten Island. My mom's from Brooklyn. My dad's from Manhattan. You're from the Bronx. So you're a New York guy. Know how it is over here. No quit in New York. So just talk to us about growing up in the Bronx. Where did you grow up? You got that thick accent. I want to learn where you got that thick accent from. And Nick and I were huge Rangers fans, huge sports fans. You're definitely a Rangers fan. What other teams did you root for growing up?
Yeah, man, I'm a big Ranger fan. Big Ranger fan. Obviously a big Yankees fan, you gotta. And
You're
the
from the
Knicks.
Bronx.
Exactly. The Knicks, the Giants, like it's always the Jets Giants is the one that you're not too sure about, but I am a Giants fan. But I rep all New York teams, baby. Look at this. Hey, wait. This is just funny because this is ironic. This was not planned at all, by the way.
Oh, yeah, like that.
Not planned at all, but the shirt I'm rocking says the Bronx on the back, so it's perfect.
So how often have you gone to Arthur Avenue?
Oh my God. Ironically, I was at Arthur Avenue yesterday at work. We stopped by over there and grabbed lunch. I used to hang out there every now and again as a kid, but it's definitely changed since I was younger. So, you don't go over there too much anymore. But it was always fun to go over there. Let's get back to the roots, you know?
Yeah, I've never been over there. Obviously, I've just seen it in movies, of course. But how accurate were some of those movies and the portrayals of what's going on up there on the Bronx, Jay, from your
Oh my
experiences?
God, it was spot on from when I was growing up. When I was younger, it was spot on. I mean, first of all, let's just say A Bronx Tale is one of the greatest movies ever created, one of my favorite movies ever. And I love that movie. It was like I literally was just on Arthur Avenue yesterday. That it's so funny. It's such a small world, man. If you haven't been there, you have to go there. They got some of the best pastries you'll ever find, just so you know.
I haven't been there in a long time, Nick. I think we got to make a trip there soon. What do you think?
Yes. You let me know when you guys come down. We'll make it work.
Well,
Nick.
if we can get a fire truck escort by Jay, then I'll make it work.
Well,
Otherwise, the parking and traffic's going to be a pain.
no promises, but I'll see what I can do.
Nick does food reviews and stuff too, so that stuff is right up his alley.
Hell yeah.
So we'll see what happens. So right now, sports in New York, half the teams are looking good, a lot of teams are looking awful. How excited are you right now for your teams with the way things are looking right now?
Well, we'll start off, and I know a lot of people are going to hate me for this one, but the Mets are going to do what the Mets always do. And we know what that is, right? Unfortunately, they're not going to go anywhere. Every time they get just enough to where you're like, you know what? They got it this year. They somehow do what the Mets do, and they pull themselves out of it. The Islanders are the same way, right? I hung out in Long Island a lot. I've done a lot of bars and clubs in Long Island, but the Islanders are the same way. They are their own worst enemy, right? And then you obviously big Ranger fan. I love the shirt that Joe's got on. Rangers are killing it, man. They are killing it. I actually have them for the conference and for the cup this year. So I'm really hoping that they pull this one through regardless.
Looking to
Been
cash
30
in.
years.
Yo,
It
I
was
know,
me.
94, man, 94.
Well, you're a little bit older than us. So Nick and I, we were literally babies the last time the Rangers won. So we really haven't seen the Rangers win. The closest we came was like 10 years ago. They made that nice little run to the cup with St.
Oh.
Louis and everybody. But we're hoping this is the year.
Oh man, they're looking good. They are looking good. They just played. It was funny. I was at work and we were watching. They just played the other night, and they were losing to Montreal, 1-0. And we left to go out on a call. We came back and it was 4-2 Rangers. I'm like, yes, Let's do it, baby. Like, the boys are back.
Yeah, so obviously it's been a long time since any New York team won a championship, especially the Rangers, and really especially the Knicks. And this is like, looking back on the past here, which we have to do with you, looking back on a show that no longer exists, the real world. So for you growing up, like, were you watching that show every season before you ended up auditioning for it?
You know, Real World was, it's so crazy to even say was and not is anymore, but it was the longest running reality show. And original. The fact that it doesn't exist anymore is crazy. I watched some when I was growing up. I watched a few seasons and then I kind of faded out of it. Then it was like you'd pick up a random season or like someone would be doing. I went to a club, I don't know how many years ago, and Adam Larson was the guest. And I was like, oh, sweet. Like, he was on Real World. That's awesome. Meet the guy, whatever, like, get a picture. Who knew that 20 years later, I would be competing with him on the same season? Like, stuff like that is crazy. I watched The Challenge big time when I was younger. So the same concept, right? You get on and you're like, oh, my God. Like, these guys that I watched on TV, I am now with them. It's such a surreal feeling. And, yeah, I watched Real World when I was growing up. Never in my life imagined I'd be on it, but...
Thank so what God. Was your what was the process like for you to, did you audition? Like, how'd you find out you were going to go on the show?
So it's, I don't know if I've told like my close family knows this. A couple of my close friends know this. I don't know if I've ever told anybody this on a podcast or on any of the interviews I did, but I'll try and do it as quick as possible. But I had no intention of ever getting on a TV show. My mother was on the internet, got like a flyer for an open casting call, sent it to me, was like, Jay, you got to do this. Like, it'd be awesome. You're in the clubs, like emceeing, like go further. You're always introducing the celebrities, be one of them. Like, just do it. So I'm like, yeah, all right, Ma. All right. No problem, Ma. So I end up going out the night before. I wake up in the morning, hung over as could be. And I'm like, Ma, I'm not doing this. She's like, you better get your ass out of bed and get over there. And I'm like, oh my God. So I drive down to the city, hung over. I get to where the place is. There's these two gigantic double doors. There's 5 million people outside. I can't find parking. I go around the block like 3, 4, 5 times, different block. I call my mother. I said, listen, Ma, I tried. I cannot do this. I am hungry. I'm not driving around the block all goddamn day. Like, it's just not happening. Like, I'm going home. She said, Jay, do me a favor. Drive around the block one more time. Just look one more time. I said, all right. I'll look one more time, Ma, and that's it. I'm done. I drove around the block, and I kid you not, when I turned the corner, right in front of those big double doors, a car just pulls right out. And I was like, oh, no way. Like, now looking back on it, I'm like, wow, the odds of that. Like, it was meant to be, dude. So I parked. I woke up. I went in, and then it was from there. It was a six-month process, which was a hassle and a half. But none of that would have ever happened. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I only went on the show because of my mom. And
you got to listen to your mother. Your mother always knows.
Oh my God, you ain't wrong though, bro. You ain't wrong. Wow. Yeah, it was just, my father always said it. He said it was just meant to be. Like, she knew that she wanted me to do something like this. She pushed me. I got it. Did it all for her. And the way that everyone knows what happened and how things turned out, but I would never be where I am today without her on that day. So
yeah, it was destiny for you there.
It was fate, bro. I've been saying that since that day. It's just so crazy. You don't, how vivid it was, I remember, to me saying, I'm like, Mom, I'm not doing this anymore. That's it. And she said, just go around one more time. And I swear, his car pulled out and the big double doors, I just saw them clear as day. And I was like, there's no way that really just happened.
Well, I think, Joe, if Jay was a little older, I think he would have got cast for Jersey Shore.
And then we were talking about
DJ JG instead of DJ Paulie D.
Wow, so. Could you imagine? I get that at the firehouse all the time. They're like, you should be on air. I'm like, listen, everything happens for a reason. Who knows what would have happened if I went on that show? I'd probably be locked up or junked out or something stupid. So everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Would I have liked that kind of money? Absolutely. But I'm good. I'm all good where I'm at, man.
How did you find out that you were going to be cast? And what was the timing period there? Was it like, all right, you got it. Be ready. We're going next week. How did you get everything in order there to get set to fly out?
So it actually kind of was like that. Like I said, the casting process itself was about 6 months. So it was like every 3 weeks they would call you and be like, we need to Skype 5 of your friends. Then the next week they'd be like, and like there was 500 people, right? And then they narrow it down to 400. Then they're like, all right, we need to talk to your family. Then they would narrow it down to 300. And each like event that you would do, they would knock some people in the running off. And then in the end, they would just like, all right, we're going to film a life in the day of Jay. Like, let's see what you do. So we did a barbecue and all that like that. We went to my mom's house, the whole nine. And the funniest thing ever is that one of the producers is like, Jay, I think your phone's ringing. And I'm like, no, my phone's not ringing. Like, we're good. It was on silent. So I'm like, no, it's good. She's like, no, I really think I heard your phone. And I'm like, no, we're good. Like, I'm trying to be involved in this. Like, I don't care who's calling me. We're good. And she's like, Jay, answer your goddamn phone. And I'm like, all right, calm down. So I look, and MTV had called me like 26 times. And I'm like, oh, okay. Don't know what's going on. So then I'm like, do I take it? She's like, yeah, call them back. I go in the other room. Like, I answer the phone. And the lady's like, congratulations. You're going to be on a Real World. You leave tonight. And I'm like,
oh, jeez.
No way. Like, are you kidding me? And they literally give you like one day. I had 24 hours to get my stuff in order. And then that was it. They're like, yeah, you're flying out tomorrow night. Like, that's it. You're done. Don't tell anyone. Go home and pack. Quit your job. Do whatever you have to do. You fly out in the morning. I was like, oh my God.
That sounds crazy. Familiar, right, Nick?
Yeah, it's insane. And, you know, your season, they have the little twist, you know, the X's, whatever. So, I don't know. I found it hard to believe that none of you had any idea. I mean, weren't they asking you, who did you date? Let's contact your ex, like, in the interview process. You have to have some sort of inclination, didn't you?
Yeah, no, 100%. So a lot of people ask me this because they're always like, oh, it had to have been staged. How else would they bring your ex out? Exactly what you just said is what everybody has always said. But think about a six-month process, right?
Yeah.
They have asked me and everyone that I know every question under the sun. Their whole concept is they want to get to know who you are through everyone else, not you. Because I could just sit here and lie my way through anything.
Right.
So by them asking everyone else what's up, they got like all the information they needed. And obviously I'm like, yeah, like I have an ex-girlfriend. I gave them three exes like that we talked about. And they're like, you know, I wasn't expecting that. The Real World has been the Real World. It's been the same format forever. You're not expecting it. So you're just like, yeah, I have an ex. They're like, oh, did you ever cheat on her? Like they just bring you into these conversations and they walk you down a path without you realizing that you're giving up the information they needed. I had, and on everything I love, I had no idea Jenna was going to show up. I had no idea. And that's the crazy part about it, because Jamie's ex didn't show up. And it's like, well, what if a bunch of our exes were like, nah, I'm not doing this. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they got super lucky that almost every ex was able to come on.
Yeah, it was pretty wild that happened. And now, when you go in the house, right, obviously you have the expectations from the show before, then they do the twists and everything. But for you, what was kind of like the, like, wow, I didn't realize this moment? Was it that you guys have to cook and clean? On your season, where they still have the big Subway sponsorship, I can't recall. Yes, so you're just getting Subway for every meal. But talk to us about, you know, those type of logistics.
Yeah, we did have the Subway sponsorship. But we got ourselves a little jammed up on that. We ended up using Subway for our chasers for our alcohol when we would pregame and stuff. So we would go to Subway and buy like $47 worth of Powerades, $36 worth of like of Gatorades. Like we would buy out the whole thing. And so it got to the point where Subway was like, hey guys, you're cut off. You're not unlimited anymore. They gave us like $100 each a week from that moment on. After like week three, we were just unloading. We were going in there, breakfast, lunch, and dinner sandwiches, all that, all the mixers. And we'd go back the next day and they're like, we can't get this much supply back this quickly. Stop drinking so much. Like, no, get us more cranberry juice. Come on. So they literally cut us off. They gave us $100 limit because we used too much of it.
For tequila and vodka and the whole nine, right?
Yeah, we were getting annihilated all the time using those Subway drinks as mixers. And oh god, yeah, they actually cut us off, legitimately cut us off. So we had $100 limit after that.
Let me ask you a question. Reality TV has certainly evolved, but if you think if they were to bring back the Real World, right, do you think it would succeed now today, you know, as it was produced back then, or do you think that they would need to change it up a little bit?
I think they would need to change it up a little bit just simply because it's so saturated now. There's 500 reality shows out there. You know what I mean? Like, even there's Deal or No Deal Island now. It's like one TV station comes up with Gold Rush, right? Then it's Bering Sea Gold Rush, Whitewater Gold Rush, yeah. Mountain Gold Rush, Fine Gold Rush, like Storage Wars has 37 Storage Wars versions now. It's just everyone loves Jersey Shore. They're stuck on that. I think like if they I think they would need to do something, but the question is what, right? Because they did do something and our season did very well, but apparently like two seasons after us, Skeletons didn't do well. The one after that didn't do well.
Yeah.
So I feel like they would
have to. The Facebook season was just like.
I don't even include that. That's just stupid.
Well, that's what they got to do, Jay. They got to do Real World All-Stars. Same thing as the challenge. Just bring back some people.
That is the only way I think you bring that back. Is you bring back someone from each season. Like maybe big challengers that were on a Real World already. Bring back that. You know what I mean? Put those people on. And let them, because everyone now knows who they are. That's what makes right. Jersey Shore what it is now, right? Because they're all famous, but still out in public doing everything and everyone's going wild.
Yeah.
Take the big time challengers, put them all on a Real World season together. See how that goes. I think that's the only shot that they got. That would be dope,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Let's talk about you going on the challenge. Who approached you about that? Did you have any reservations about it? Were you pumped? Were you amped up to go on there?
I don't know if you saw the challenge posted a video, I think the other day, and it's a video of me saying I got the phone call and I pick up and they're like, hey, you interested in doing the challenge All-Stars 4? And I was like, you have the wrong number or like, what's up here? There's something ain't right. Like, what are you doing? I'll be the first one to tell you that I'm no All-Star, right? I think I did fine, but I don't think I was a presence when I did X's 2, right, on the challenge. I wasn't a presence. I was just there. But I'm athletic, so I was able to keep up with everybody. Never lost, right? Never lost any of them. I did win one, but everyone knows the whole flop in the final. But as far as an all-star, I made a final on my first time. I competed very well, yes, but no one looks at any of that, right? They just look at what happened in the final with the fish guts. So am I an all-star? No. Compare me to some of these guys that, you know, CT, Wes, Leroy, those are all-stars.
Yeah.
So do I agree with people when they say I don't deserve to be there? The answer is yes. Before the season started, when I initially got that call, I did not think that I deserved to be considered an all-star.
How about when you originally were cast for the regular challenge? I mean, I'm assuming that happened really quick as your show was airing or like right after it aired. How did that shake out for you?
Yeah, I did X's 2, my first challenge I did immediately after Real World. I was pumped. I didn't know it was X's though, but I was pumped. I like I said, I'm athletic, bro. I love this stuff. I've been a firefighter for many years. Like I compete in CrossFit. I compete in Spartan races. I do DECA. Like I love that stuff, man. I'm an athletic guy. I'm not great at one thing, but I am good at a lot of things when it comes to sports. So to be able to do that, I was like, yeah, I'm in. Like, let's go. Sign me up. I am down. Did I know I was going to be tightrope walking from the roof of a building to another one? No. I didn't know I was going to be doing that kind of stuff. But hey, you adapt and you do it. And again, I did very well.
Yeah.
Even the final itself, we had to kayak 10 miles. I blew Leroy and Teresa out of the water. We were 20 minutes ahead of them. Then it came to the run, and you had to run 7 miles or whatever it was. We caught up to Jordan and Sarah. We just couldn't do the puzzle. So we fell back again. Then it was run another 5 miles. I caught up to them again. Then it was the fish guts, and that's where that ended. Athletics-wise, I love that stuff. And that's why I was happy to be on Challenge All-Stars 4. Reservations? Yes. You asked if I had any? 100%. Do I think that I'm going to go in there and day one, they're going to put a fish guts drink in front of me? 100%. And I know a lot of people out there are expecting the same thing. So I guess we will find out when that comes.
Yeah. And it's just crazy how basically you look at the cast of the regular challenge now. It's basically like nobody from the Real World. I think your season's like the last season they took people from the Real World. I think like Skeletons, I was expecting Robbie Padovan. I was like, oh, this guy's going to be on the challenge. They didn't take him, nobody. And now just all people coming from all different shows, all across reality TV, which is pretty wild. But I think everybody's ultimate goal is like, I want to go on the challenge. So like, I'm going to go on Big Brother, you know? And you've got some other reality TV, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But for you, what was the most surprising thing about being on reality television?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because that used to be a thing. Like, you had to be on the Real World in order to be on the challenge. So it was like you were taking steps. You know what I mean? It was awesome. You had a goal. Now they're just picking people off Instagram. They're like, oh, this girl's pretty. She has fake boobs. Let's put her on TV. You know, like, it's stupid. You don't even have to do anything now. There's like talks that agents were talking to agents and were like, well, yo, just bring her on. Like, she'll be good TV with you. Pretend you're best friends. And now they're on the challenge. Like, it doesn't take anything to get on it anymore.
Right. The rider dies. People didn't even know who they were.
That's exactly. Like, that's
there were supposed to be levels to this shit, you know?
That's what I'm saying. There's steps, bro. There's levels. You start here, you make your way up. You don't just go on Instagram, buy a bunch of followers, show your tits for a half a day, and then everyone's like, yep, there you go. Perfect. Sorry, I don't know if I could say that on here. I apologize.
Oh, now you can.
Changing the game, bro. Changing the game. I don't know. But I guess it's nice. There's new blood on it. But now, again, you're taking people from every show. You're taking people just off Instagram. Like, I don't know. It is what it is. They needed to adapt. They needed to get bigger. They're bringing different fan bases in, so I do understand it. But for me, getting on TV, I didn't realize what it was going to be like until the day it aired. And I went to the same Key Food that I shopped at for the last 10 years. And they were like, oh, my God, you're on TV. And I'm like, yeah, okay, yes. Like, that's me. Like, can I take a picture? And I'm like, I've been here every day for the last 7 years. You know what I mean? And then it's like, I as I'm walking out, someone else is like, wait, you're Jay. And I'm like, oh, boy. And then next thing you know, you go to a bar and there's a line of people asking to take pictures and they're pointing and you're like, okay, this is real. This is the new life now, isn't it? So it definitely was very different.
Who's the craziest person you've ever met in person, you know, that has recognized you from being on TV?
Sean Patrick Flannery. If you know who that is, he was in Boondock Saints. And I went to an autographs thing with Gina Marie from Big Brother. And we were signing autographs. And we're like, yo, the Walking Dead's like, they got the whole big section. And the Boondock Saints, like, since Norman Reedus was in both, they had tables together. Yo, we walked in that room. Sean Patrick Flannery stood up on a table and was like, Jay from the Real World. And there's hundreds of people in line. And I'm like, no way. Like, this is absurd. There's like bouncers everywhere. Calls me right up. Her and I walk straight up there. So me, I'm like, no doubt, let's go. I jump up on the table with him and I'm like, what's up? Like, this is insane. And we're sitting there having this whole conversation. Norman Reedus now comes walking over, who is like one of the biggest characters in Walking Dead. And he's like, what the hell are you two doing? And he's like, yo, this is just, I watched him on The Real World. And like, we're having this conversation with all of these fans sitting in line to get autographs of The Walking Dead. And now all the main Walking Dead characters are staring at us while I'm on a goddamn table with Sean Patrick Flannery. And then he's asking me, oh, yo, was that real when this happened? Like, was the fight with them real? Did that? And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, dude, I love your movies. And I'm on a table now and you're asking me all these questions. He asks me for a photo. He posts on Twitter like, yo, with my boy Jay. I'm like, this is insane. Did I ever in my life think that a kid from the Bronx would be standing on a table with the Walking Dead cast now? Like, hell no. But it was a great moment, bro. A great moment.
Absolutely love that. Let's talk about going on Sequester and Catfish. Seems like all these opportunities kind of just like fall into your lap. Either somebody's reaching out to you or you're missing a phone call. So talk to us about doing those shows.
Yeah. So it basically was once I did Real World, it just opened so many doors. And that's why I say it was fate that my mom asked me to do this. She wanted me to do this. And then it was one after another. I was just getting random phone calls and, you know, someone from Big Brother and Audrey was like, you know, hey, would you be interested in doing this? It's not as big as what you did, but, you know, it'd be fun. And like, we put normal people on. So it'd be a nice twist to throw you in there. Some people might know who you are. Some people might not. Now I'm like, sure. I had a grand old time on the first season of, you know, reality TV. Let's see what this one brings. Then I get a call from Neve from Catfish. They actually got a voicemail and I was like, this gotta be a scam, right? Like, it's gotta be some nonsense. And then like a producer called me and was like, hey, we're gonna call you, answer. And I'm like, oh boy, this is legit. I didn't even know what was going on with that. That was legit. Like, they called me and started asking questions and I was like, I have no idea. Let me check. And that was wild. And then I'm getting phone calls like, yo, I just saw you on Catfish commercial.
So someone was catfishing somebody, making believe they were you?
No, someone was catfishing someone else.
Yeah.
But they looked into that person, and that person apparently had like sent me multiple DMs that I never answered, but then they switched like their account and sent me more DMs, and then I did answer because I thought it was someone else, and then I realized it wasn't. I stopped answering again, so they hit me up and are like, yo, we found like this girl's been sending you DMs from like 9 different accounts, and this one you did answer a few times. Do you know who she is and all this stuff? And I'm like, no, like I have no idea. So now I'm going back into my Instagram, like what are we talking about here? And I'm trying to help them, like I'm investigating stuff now. I'm like, I'm a Murder, She Wrote. Let's figure out who did this. But I didn't know what was going on. And I still, to this day, pretty much don't know what the heck was going on.
Oh, boy. Well, you got to be careful, Jay. There's going to be a lot more DMs coming your way now. I know.
All right, let's take a break from reality TV for a second. Let's talk about you joining the FDNY firefighter. Are you allowed to speak about where your house is and all that, and you know, just kind of the grind of serving the city and being a firefighter? And have you gone into fires recently? Anything like that?
Yeah. So I just, as a personal thing, I'm sure it'll come out. I'm sure people know who I am, but I try not to like put my house on blast because I don't need people showing up at my firehouse.
Yeah, understood.
I don't need people calling my firehouse. You know what I mean? Like, God forbid, one of these crazy people like, yo, I hate this kid so much. Let me call this firehouse and tell him that, you know, he's doing this or he's doing that. And then it's like, I don't want it to become a thing. That's my real life, you know, and I try and keep that separate. My job comes first. I've been a firefighter for 7 years now. It was the best decision I ever made. So I turned down 4 challenges in the process of me getting on the fire department. And I don't regret it. So people are like, oh, after the fish guts, people are like, oh, he never got a call back because of the fish guts. They're never going to call you back. Let's be clear. They called me for the next 4 in a row, but I didn't do it because I was getting into the academy and it was the best thing I ever did. I love my job. I will take, I'm going to spend another 20 years on this job. Do we have to do a lot of nonsense? Do we deal with a lot of nonsense? Yes, we do. The area that I'm in is not a great area and people call for a lot of nonsense and a lot of stupid things that you would be like, wait, really? You know, we get calls. If someone has a clogged toilet, they call 911. And then I have to respond to that. And we're like, are you kidding me? Like, call a plumber. Unclog it yourself. Like, you called 911. And they're like, yeah, well, I don't know what to do. I'm like, well, don't call us. We're 911. Like, you don't call 911, you know? And now, God forbid, something serious is happening over there. We're here because you clogged your damn toilet. Like, it's so stupid. It really is. But the fire aspect is amazing. I love it. As crazy as it sounds, I love going to fires. That's what we do. We are firefighters. When everyone is running out of the building and running the other way and they're screaming, it's where is it? What are you doing? Who's in there? Someone in there? Like, let's go. The bells just go off. The horn goes off and it's, you do what you have to do, man. And I wouldn't trade it for the world, dude. I've been to many fires. I've been to a few recently. We had a big scare yesterday, actually. There was a fire and a collapse. And people were still operating when it collapsed. So it's a very scary moment for a lot of people. But we all know what we signed up for. And we're all willing to put ourselves on the line to, you know, serve the city, the community, serve the Bronx. That's where I'm in the Bronx. And I love it. That's what I do. And I wouldn't change it for the world, bro.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're going into fires, it's you know, that's the real challenge. So going into the challenge house is pretty much nothing. But how did you work it out here with work to get the time off to go film this All-Star season?
It actually ironically worked out that my vacation was scheduled just about the same time. So I was like, all right, I went on vacation, went out and filmed that. I wasn't back in time because I was still out there doing very well. So I had to make a phone call and I was like, guys, I'm like, you know, like a normal job. You're like, hey, look, I'm supposed to be working Monday, Tuesday. Can you work for me Monday, Tuesday? And I'll work for you Thursday, Friday. Like, yeah. I had to do a couple of those. And it all just, the way things happened, man, it all worked out perfectly for me to finally get back on when I was ready to get back on, when they were ready for me to get back on. And everything was just perfectly, like, in tune together.
Yeah. So how long did you know in advance that you were going to leave to go to get your affairs in order? You came in the cast photos in tremendous shape. I'm assuming you're just in that good shape for work anyway, but what was that process like?
I appreciate that. Yeah, the job keeps me in shape, man. You can't train hard enough for a job that can kill you, plain and simple. So I compete all the time. I work out every single day that I can. I love it. I love working out. I love staying in shape, but I need to be in shape because if I do have to pull somebody out of a fire, I need to be able to do that. And I'm not a big guy. You know, half the people on that challenge are bigger than me, but I guarantee you that I can lift what they can lift or I can do what they can do. Like, I'm not worried about that. And that's because of the job. I owe that to the job. I am in shape because of the job and I love staying in shape because of the job. They probably gave me maybe 2 months, a little less of a heads up to kind of prepare. And yeah, of course, once you get that phone call and they're like, you're on, you're like, okay, now my workouts go from workouts to 2-a-days, you know, instead of running 7 miles, I'm running 10 miles now. Like, I'm upping the ante because I'm ready and I'm motivated and I want that damn W. So I was up in everything for those 2 months, but thankfully I keep myself in good shape all year round and I try my hardest to, so that if the, when that call came, I was already like, I'll go tomorrow. Like, let's do this.
Yeah. If you stay ready, you need to get ready. So
exactly, man.
Worked out for you there. So Jay, in your life and your reality TV career and your real career, what would you say is your, you know, I'm right moment? What I mean by that, it's a time or place where you wanted to pursue something. You asked somebody for advice. They told you, Jay, that's a bad idea. Don't do that. It's not going to work out. And you were like, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. And in the end, you will see why it is that I'm right about this.
Not that I'm not tying this into this on purpose, but that phone call for the All-Stars Challenge 4, a lot of my friends and family were like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, I don't know if this is the best move for you right now. Like, you're happy. You have a life. You just bought another house. Like, you have the job that you love. You're, everything in your life is perfect. And everything in my life, I am very happy where I'm at in life right now. And it was like, do you want to go on and relive what happened in the last one? You know, the 8 million people that are going to now talk shit that have been talking shit to me for the last 8 years. Every day for 8 years, someone has gone on Twitter or Instagram and be like, you're whatever because you can't drink the drink. You know, like, you don't deserve this. You suck. Oh, you're so weak. And they're like, it's definitely faded, but it's still there. 8 years, still getting that kind of nonsense. But they're like, do you want to bring yourself back into the spotlight now and bring all of that back up, right? You know, All-Stars, you know, they're going to play that up. You know, they're going to play that up. You have a great job. You have your career. Do you really want to go out there, change this all up and possibly stir all that back up? Go through that again, right? What if challenge number one, they're like, here are the fish guts again. Let's see what you do. And then what if you fail? You know, that was, but I had to hunker down and say like, no, I need to go back. I have to do this. Like, I have to do this. I had this conversation with a few of my friends. I had this conversation with my father. My father is my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, and my best friend. And I sat there with him and I said, Dad, I have to do this. Like, I've been tortured for 8 years for this. I need to show people that that is not who I am. I'm ready. You know, I'm ready. Like, this is the moment that I need to go out there, show them that I can do what I do, and change their perception of me, change that perspective, change the narrative, and show them who the real Jay Mitchell is. And it's a great question that you asked, because it allows me to really like get on that. And because that was a big thing. I debated it and debated it and asked people, and I wasn't sure, man. I really wasn't. I wasn't, but I needed to do it. So it all worked out.
And now once it comes out, you get to just, you know, get your revenge on all those haters.
I can't wait, bro. I can't wait. I mentioned earlier, I said, when I got that call, did I believe that I was an All-Star? Did I believe that I should be there? And the answer was no, I didn't. After competing on this season, I won't give anything away on what happens or where it goes, but I was able to show my true self, and I'm proud of everything I did on this season. And do I deserve to be on All-Stars 5? Yes, I do. 100%. There is no doubt in my mind that I deserve to be on All-Stars 5 also. So
yeah,
that's where it
is. Another show I thought you would be great on, you kind of mentioned before, but I think, you know, since all under the same umbrella, they have the challenge CBS, they need to do Big Brother MTV. I think you'd be great in that show. I think that would be a great concept for MTV, Big Brother MTV.
Yeah. Oh, that would be awesome. I like that because it's the same. It's real world and the challenge mixed together, right? Like they do the competitions, but they live. Like I would love something like that. Something that like that would be great. But it's
Big
like
Brother is a little more. It's a social game mixed in, obviously. But I mean, you're sociable. You know, you're from a New York guy from the Bronx. You look great. You
one of the great ones.
Right? One of the great ones.
One of the great ones.
I mean, listen, if Gina Marie can finish runner-up on a Big Brother season, Jay Mitchell can win a Big Brother season.
Oh, I would love that.
Jay,
I
you ever do the key test, the car test?
People say it's the Mario test, but it's not the Mario test. Yes, I know what you're talking about. The Mario test is a bad one. You got to do Sonny's test where you let her in, open the door, down the car, see if she leans over. If she doesn't, she can't be trusted.
Absolutely. A Bhutan, right?
Yes. Oh, you boys are great. I like this.
Oh, absolutely love it. Well, my last question was going to be after the All Stars 4 comes out, and it's coming on Paramount Plus soon here. So that was going to be the plug for the
Aaron
show.
Now, as of the
My last question was, could we see you on reality TV again? But obviously, we know the answer to that. So what we do here is we're going to tie this up. We're going to wrap this up now. Jay, we appreciate everything. We look forward to seeing you competing. We wish you the best of luck moving forward, your job, and what other opportunities come calling, literally. And what we do is we give our guests the last word. So if there's anything else you would like to share or promote for yourself, by all means, go ahead. Would love to catch a Yankees game soon. Rangers playoff tickets are really, really expensive. So I don't know if that's going to be something that can happen. I may have to wait until next season for that. Nick and I, we need to get to Arthur Avenue. We need to get to the Bronx. It's been a while since I've been there. So hopefully we get to see you in person soon. But if there's anything else you would like to share, promote, by all means, go ahead. We had a lot of fun. Thanks again for doing this with us.
I appreciate it, especially, you know, both of you guys, fellow New Yorkers. I love that. I respect that more than anything. This is born and raised. Love it. I would never change it for the world. My life is perfect the way it is right now. I'm very happy. All I am, like, my last words are that I want people to be open-minded when they watch this and not watch this for me thinking that I'm that person from the past and he's going to be weak and he's going to suck and this and that. Like, just be open-minded. Watch what I do. Watch me compete. Watch me be me. Judge me for this season. Don't judge me based on what happened in the past, right? That the way it's edited, the way it is, it didn't go down like that, but it is what it is. But from here forward, Challenge All-Stars 4, this is a new season. This is a new game. Judge me for what happens on this season. That's the true me. But I do appreciate both of you. This was actually incredibly fun, and I enjoyed it a lot. So when I'm out in Staten Island, I will give you boys a call. When you ever make your way down this way, you better give me a call.
Joe's going to be on the boogie down quite often. Jay, this has been a lot of fun for us here. Rumor has it, the two firefighters, you know, they dominate this season. So you and Nicole will be on the lookout for that. And those fellow Staten Islander, Nicole. But Jay, this has been great. And we wish you the best of luck with everything moving forward. I'm sure we'll see you on our TVs or streaming platforms again soon. And that's going to do it here for this episode of You Know I'm Right for our very special guest, FDNY member, reality TV star Jay Mitchell, my co-host Joe Calabrese. I'm Nick Durst, and this has been You Know I'm Right.